Meanwhile, the dwarf had whipped up the reindeer, and the witch and Edmund drove out under the archway and on and away into the darkness and the cold. This was a terrible journey for Edmund, who had no coat at all because he'd left it at the Beavers. Before they'd been going a quarter of an hour, all the front of him was covered with snow. No sooner did he brush it off than a new lot gathered. He was so tired and wet to the skin, and oh, how miserable he was. It didn't look now as if the witch intended to make him a king. All the things he'd said to make himself believe that she was good and kind sounded silly to him now. The only way to comfort himself was to try to believe that the whole thing was a dream, and that he might wake up at any moment. Eventually the snow had stopped, and the morning had come, and they were racing along in the daylight. And still they went on and on with no sound but the everlasting swish of the snow and the creaking of the reindeer's harness. And then, at last...
What have we here? Stop!
Yes, Majesty. Whoa!
A little way off at the foot of a tree sat a merry party. A squirrel and his wife with their children, two satyrs and a dwarf and an old fox, all on stools round a table. Edmund couldn't see what they were eating, but it smelled lovely, and there seemed to be decorations of holly. The fox, who was obviously the oldest person present, had just risen to its feet, holding a glass in its right paw, as if it was going to say something. But when the whole party saw the sleigh stopping, and who was in it, the gaiety went out of their faces.
What is the meaning of this? Speak, vermin. Or do you want my dwarf to find you a tongue with his whip? What is the meaning of all this gluttony, this waste, this self-indulgence? Where did you get all these things? Speak, old fox.
Please, Your Majesty, we were given them. And if I might make so bold as to drink to Your Majesty's very good health...
Who gave them to you?
Father Christmas.
What? He has not been here. He cannot have been here. How dare you? But no. Say you have been lying and you shall even now be forgiven.
He has been here. He has? He has?
Oh, you will pay for this. Dwarf, give me my wand.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Your Majesty, don't, please, no. They were only having a party. Did you have to turn them into statues? They weren't doing anything wrong.
Silence, fool.
No!
Let that teach you to ask favour for spies and traitors. Drive on!
Drive on! Drive on! Get up here!
What's the matter? The sleigh seems to be moving less quickly.
It's the snow, Your Majesty. It's wetter. It's melting.
Melting? It can't be. Your reindeer are getting lazy. Drive them, I say. Drive them!
However the dwarf whipped the poor reindeer, the sleigh went slower and slower. Finally, the sleigh stuck so fast that it wouldn't go on at all. When that happened, there was a moment's silence. And in that silence, Edmund heard a strange, sweet, rustling, chattering noise. It was the noise of running water. All round them, though out of sight, there were streams, roaring. Edmund's heart gave a great leap when he realized that the frost was over. And much nearer, there was a drip, drip, drip from the branches of all the trees.
Don't sit staring, fool. Get out and help the dwarf.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Push down in here. Come on. Push. It's no good, Your Majesty. We can't slay in this thaw.
Then we must walk.
We'll never overtake them walking, not with the start they've got.
Are you my counsellor or my slave? Do as you're told. Tie the hands of the human creature behind it and take hold of the end of the rope. Huh? And take your whip.
Right.
The dwarf obeyed, and in a few moments Edmund found himself being forced to walk as fast as he could with his hands tied behind him. He kept on slipping in the slush and mud and wet grass.
Faster! Walk faster!
No!
Every moment the patches of green grew bigger and the patches of snow grew smaller. Every moment more and more of the trees shook off their robes of snow. Soon there were wonderful things happening. Coming round a corner into a glade, Edmund saw the ground covered in all directions with little yellow flowers. Only 5 minutes later, he noticed a dozen crocuses growing round the foot of an old tree, gold and purple and white. They crossed a running stream. Close beside the path, a bird suddenly chirped from the branch of a tree. And then, as if that had been a signal, there was chattering and chirruping in every direction.
Faster!
The sky became bluer and bluer. In the wide glades, there were primroses. A light breeze sprang up, carrying cool, delicious scents. The trees began to come fully alive and put forth their leaves. A bee buzzed across their path.
This is no thaw. This is spring. What are we to do? Your winter's been destroyed, I tell you. This is Aslan's doing.
If either of you mentions that name again, he shall instantly be killed.